chapter number 1 of 2 Corinthians, looking at Paul again, talking about some things. And begin in verse number 1. Read down through to about verse 10 or so. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in Achaia, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall ye be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver us, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. And the first thing I want to look at is verse number 5, talking about suffering here. Paul says, "For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ." And we're looking at the sufferings, and remember the sufferings of Paul. If you read a lot of the New Testament accounts of Paul's suffering, that he was beaten, imprisoned, in shipwreck, constantly threatened, stoned to death in Lystra, comes back. As soon as the Lord puts him back on his feet, guess where he goes? Right back to Lystra. So Paul is going through all these sufferings and all these things, and talking about being a prisoner for the Lord, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, where he was in bonds and in shackles. And everywhere he went, he ran into opposition that wanted to kill him. Not just people that said, well, you know, you believe that story or whatever, you want to believe that, and you can believe that if you want. We don't believe the Bible. Not just scoffers and naysayers, but actual persecutors that wanted to take his life. And we look around at the sufferings of this world, and you go through some sufferings in this place, and I'm talking about outside persecution, outside of that kind of thing, but the sufferings that we go through, and Christ is our consolation. We know that he's going to console us and comfort us as we go forward by the grace of God. And Paul was talking about that, those sufferings, and he was able to keep going for Jesus Christ and keep on for Jesus Christ and to march from one persecution to the next, and one jail cell to the next, and one beating to the next, one threatening to the next. And he was able to do it. And even when they told him, don't mention Jesus Christ anymore, he mentioned him all the more. He wouldn't quit for Jesus Christ. He wouldn't quit on Jesus Christ. Talking about all that suffering, and we suffer some minor things in this country, minor things witnessing for Christ. And sometimes you'll have people just make fun of you because you go to church. You know, you ever had somebody, you go to church? Why would you do that? Why would you waste your time, you know? You hear the Sundays are my days. That's where I do my thing. And, you know, I work hard all week, and Sundays are my time, which means they're recovering from some alcohol abuse or something Saturday night, drug abuse, whatever. They're trying to recover on Sunday morning instead of being in the house of God or trying to get something for the Word of God. But you'll hear people tell you that there's something wrong with you because you're not doing the things that are destructive to yourself that they are. Amen? And that's some strange thought, but that's the way the lost world thinks, and a lot of backslidden Christians think the same way. But it's a strange thought. But the sufferings of a Christian are different around the world. There are people around the world that they smuggle Bibles into them. They have private Bible studies. They have underground churches, if you will. And they do it at the risk of imprisonment or death or torture. But they're willing to go ahead and step out. And some of them are tortured. You've heard stories of people having their hands cut off for carrying a Bible. people that are given 15, 20 year sentences in these terrible rat hole prisons, not like the United States, Britain, not that anybody wants to be in a prison anywhere, but talking about third world country prisons where they shack up with the rats and stuff in there, and that's where they just spend 10, 15, 20 years for preaching the name of Jesus Christ, for telling people about the death, burial, and resurrection. And the problem is that these communist countries who have come into a theater near you, by the way, these communist countries, they don't like that because Jesus Christ said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free," and they don't want you to have any freedom. And it's a spiritual battle, so it really aggravates them to think you could have spiritual freedom, because they want to control everything about everything. They want to be the ultimate dictator, the ultimate authority, and I got news for them. The ultimate authority is right here. It's the King James Bible, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. But these sufferings that people are going through and sufferings that people are willing to take for the cause of Jesus Christ, I think today, if this country was like a lot of those third world countries as far as persecution and imprisonment, I think most of the churches would close their doors. If anybody is preaching the gospel, and maybe some of those gospel preachers would probably stick it out, but I think most of the churches would just shut down. I think if the government said you can speak no more in the name of that Jesus Christ, I think most Christians, most born-again believers, I hate to use the word Christian here, but most people that claim the name of Jesus Christ as their Savior, most would say, okay, we won't do that anymore. But, you know, honestly, I think most saved people aren't doing that anyway. Amen. But I believe that it wouldn't take a whole lot of persecution to get American saved people out of God's house, and probably a lot of them are out of God's will anyway, but just get them to quit. And Paul's talking about sufferings, and he's saying, hey, these sufferings are important. Because why is it important? Because it brings glory to God. It brings glory to God. Could you imagine if they called tomorrow, if they called out tomorrow and they said, you know what, any church that's open next Wednesday or next Sunday night, we're going to come in there and we're going to take you all and we're going to put you in jail. What do you think would happen? Well, we'd be preaching in jail next Wednesday night, amen. Some of us would be. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who all would show, who all wouldn't, but I guarantee you the most born-again believers or alleged born-again believers in the United States of America, because we have it so good here and we don't understand what real suffering is when it comes to spreading the gospel, we would just say, oh, good night, we got to quit. We'll just quit. But Paul said, don't quit. He's talking about the sufferings. And in verse 8 and 9, he talks about the surrender. Look at verses 8 and 9. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our troubles, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Now, you can get spiritually pressed out of measure, above strength, where you have no strength left, but even in despair of life, he's talking about physical life being threatened on a constant basis, on a regular basis. And in verse 9, he says, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead. So here he comes talking about the suffering, and the reason he was able to endure the suffering is because of the surrender. He had surrendered. And I tell you, most born-again believers have not surrendered their life to the cause of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you today, if you're going to make it, and you're going to make it through the next years, I hope he calls us out this week. Even so, come Lord Jesus. But if it's going to get any crazier, and it's going to get any more difficult for born-again believers to attend church and to read their Bible and to pray, I'm not just talking about spiritual difficulty, I'm talking about physical difficulty. If it's going to get any more difficult, you're going to need some things. You're going to need to surrender. You're going to need to expect some suffering and be able to surrender. Paul said, look what he said again in verse 9, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raised the dead. You know what Paul was able to do? Every morning he was able to say, you know what? I'm putting me on the cross. I'm dying to self. I'm living for Jesus Christ. I think that a lot of Christians might quit and then slowly get back into it when they realize the sufferings are not going to go away. But some people just quit. And some people never did start, so they won't have to quit, I guess. But Paul said, you know what? I'm surrendered. I'm bought with a price. I'm bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. My life's not my own. I'm dying to myself, and I'm going to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul said, I'm dead to me. I'm alive because Christ lives in me. And no matter what they do to me, I'm going to keep on keeping on for Jesus Christ. He was able to suffer and keep going through that suffering because he was surrendered. He was sold out to Jesus Christ. Now, honestly, that convicts me too. It ought to convict all of us, because we all realize the bar of the threshold of getting us to quit is a lot lower than what Paul's was. Amen. I mean, God didn't call me to shut this church down. They throw out another bat virus and they start just sending people around. Maybe they'll arm the Muslims to go take the Christians out. I don't know. All I say is we need more ammo. We're not quitting. I'm not quitting. Y'all want to stay home, stay home, but there's going to be a church service here as long as I'm physically able to get here. And if they come in and shoot us dead, we'll die in God's will. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. I'll die holding the sword. Amen. Building and battling like they did when they called the Jews back to rebuild in Nehemiah's time. Building and battle. What are we building? We're trying to build each other up for the cause of Christ, and we're battling the devil, battling the flesh, battling the world, going forward for Jesus Christ by putting up with some suffering and surrendering to Him and saying, Lord, you know, Job said everything Job went through, though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. Think about that. If God Himself slays me, I'm going to trust in Him. Because God doesn't do anything wrong. You know, Job realized that. Even if God kills me, I'm still going to trust Him. I'll trust that He's doing right because He's God. Amen. And we need that attitude. We need to have that attitude because we're in a mess of a world here. And this flesh is... I beat your grandma and your grandpa and all them folks. They had it, in my opinion, they had it a little bit easier because they didn't have all the luxury and all the attack. The attack was not as constant and not as brutal. I mean, you got an attack 24/7. And you don't believe that, I'll prove it to you. The devil's the prince of power of the air. You wouldn't realize what's going through your head when you're asleep. TV waves, radio waves, cell phone transmissions, all that stuff. We got noise all the time going through us. Now, we're walking antennas, picking up garbage all the time. I'm telling you, I don't know how people do it at all without reading their Bible and without praying, because we're under constant attack. Even if you don't know it, you're under attack. And, you know, the most aggravating thing about a cell phone is, besides we're addicted to them now, we wouldn't know what to do without one. Couldn't go a whole 2 days without one. You'd probably freak out. But one of the most aggravating things is when you say, well, here's a Bible study I'd like to listen to by a preacher I know, and then you get a commercial on for some vulgar thing in the middle of it. Or you get some lost man with a hair down to his middle of his back going, hey, I know you're really busy doing something serious, but can we take a moment to pray together? It's like, no, we can't, Woodstock. We're not praying together. Amen? I'm trying to listen to something about the Word of God. I don't need... And the devil throws all these distractions out there. You're trying to listen to a Bible-believing teaching or preaching. Hey, could we take a moment to pray together? They do all their voodoo and curse themselves with a thing and all that. It's just everywhere. But we're under a constant... You have got to surrender yourself to Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I'm going to finish in Your will no matter what. And I don't mean to offer that as a challenge to the devil, but Lord, I'm trusting You. We can't defeat the devil. He's constantly kicking my teeth in, but Lord, I'm trusting You to get us through this, and I don't want to quit. And by the grace of God, I want to end well, and the only way I'm going to end well is by the grace of God. And the only way you're going to have that grace of God carrying you forward is to realize the suffering's coming and realize you need to surrender your life to Jesus Christ, not just for salvation, but on a daily basis. Say, Lord, I belong to You. And that's what Paul said. That's what Job said. Though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. Paul was going through the suffering. He was surrendered to the Lord. And then we see, verse number 10, we see the salvation. Who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. And there's Paul's message about salvation. His salvation, physical and spiritual. And we do have there's more to your salvation than just being saved. I mean, there's at least three parts we can look at. We'll look at them today, but Paul was talking about had been delivered, is being delivered, and will be delivered. And I want to look at that for just a minute. But first, before you can understand salvation, we have to understand some things about sin and the problem of sin. The problem of sin is, I know if you're saved, you don't have to worry about that. You're going to heaven, praise the Lord. But the problem with sin is, even if you're saved, the problem with sin is it separates you from God. It messes up your fellowship. It'll break the communication. Isaiah said that our iniquities have separated us from God, and because of our sin, paraphrase here, but he said that we can't communicate and God won't hear us because of our sin, and that'll happen a lot of times, is you won't be able to get a hold of God because you've got some sin in your life or some kind of an idol that you've allowed to creep in there or you've placed in there to put between you and God, And with that, there's a problem with sin. There's a problem with sin for lost people because it's going to, ultimately, they deserve to go to hell because of sin. Now, we know ultimately people don't go to hell just because of their sin. They go to hell because of rejecting Jesus Christ. He's already paid the sin debt. But there's a problem with sin. And there's an answer. The answer to sin. But there's also a potential. The potential for sin to get somebody in hell. The potential to keep somebody out of God's will. That's why it's so important to get right with God. It's just important to get right with God. You know, it's not enough, and it's not fair to the Lord, and it's not right as a Christian, as a born-again believer, to say, I'm saved, and that's good enough. That is not good. That is more than shortchanging Jesus Christ for what He deserves. For everything He's given us in His death, burial, and resurrection, when He shed His blood, just to say, I'm just going to get by and wait till I get to heaven, that's just not good enough. That's not right, and God deserves more. But there's a problem with sin, and there's a potential of sin, and that potential is to end people up in hell, and also is the potential to stop born-again believers from being any good for Jesus Christ. But the answer to sin is Jesus Christ. You say, well, I'm saved. It's still the answer. The answer is still getting it under the blood and going on. But looking at that verse 10 again, we'll read it again. Who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver us, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. And there's three parts I want to talk about from salvation. When you trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, I hope you all have, and you trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you were saved from the penalty of sin. So the penalty of sin, what's the penalty of sin? For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Say, well, we still, probably if the Lord don't call us out of here, we're probably going to the grave. Well, He's going to call us out of here hopefully soon. But either way, you're not going to die. You sleep in Christ. You have eternal life in Christ. So the penalty of sin, you've been saved from the penalty of sin. And then you've been saved from the power of sin. You know, sin, Bible says sin doesn't have, no longer has dominion over you. Lost people, they do what they do because the sin has power over them. The only way sin can have power over you is you would give it the power back because God has saved you from the penalty and He saved you from the power. 1 Corinthians 10:13, let's look at that. 1 Corinthians 10:13. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, the Word of God says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. So right there, you have the power over sin. Sin no longer has the power over you. God gives you a way out of every temptation. People, born-again believers, people do not fall into sin. They make an obvious choice to sin. Amen. Because saved people have the Spirit of God in them, tell them to go right. Do the right thing. Live for God. Don't go the wrong way. Don't destroy your testimony. Don't mess up your fellowship. Don't give away your joy. Don't do all these things. The Holy Spirit of God is saying, don't. And the devil and the flesh and the world is saying, do. And then the world says, don't do this, it's right. And then God says, do this is right. You've got the Holy Spirit of God in you trying to lead and guide and direct and protect. The Spirit of God is stronger than the spirit of the Antichrist, the spirit of man, the things of the world. So you've been saved from the penalty of sin. You've been saved from the power of sin. That sin, you're not under the dominion of sin. You're not in the bondage of sin anymore. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How do you walk in the Spirit? By prayer and reading your Bible and doing what's right by God, being sensitive to the Spirit of God. So, well, how's Bible reading fit into that? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are Spirit and they are life. This book, hey, that all the things that counter God outside this church house, outside your Bible study, outside your prayer life in this world, all these forces, all these spirits, all these things that counter the truth can be countered by the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. A lot of people know Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior, but they don't know any Bible. You got to get the Bible in you because it'll clean you out. But you've been saved from the penalty of sin. You've been saved from the power of sin. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, We'll begin in verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now that verse, that bondage again to fear, you don't have to put yourself back under the law and worry about whether or not you're good enough because you have Jesus Christ's righteousness. But you're also not given that spirit of bondage where you're under the bondage of the law or bondage of sin or bondage of the flesh or any of that stuff. You've been made free from that stuff by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. You don't have to be a Pentecostal to believe the Bible. Amen. The Spirit of God is stronger than the spirit of the devil, the spirit of Antichrist, the spirits that work in this world. And the Word of God is Spirit. You've been saved from the penalty of sin. You've been saved from the power of sin. So when you sin, you can't blame it on anybody but yourself. Amen, amen, and amen. You certainly won't be able to say, well, God, the woman thou gavest to be with me. Or God, the serpent beguiled me and I did eat. You won't be able to say that because you've been freed from that power because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Saved from the penalty of sin, saved from the power of sin. Guess what? Look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. You're going to be saved from the presence of sin. From the presence of sin. You don't have to worry about hell because Jesus Christ paid your sin debt. You have an opportunity to live sinless every day. Now, I'm not saying you're going to do it. I'm not saying you're going to make mistakes. But you have the opportunity because you've been freed from the power of sin. But you're also going to be freed from the presence of sin. Look at Ephesians chapter number 1. Ephesians chapter number 1. Take a short right there. Ephesians chapter number 1. Look at verse 10 through 14. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the glory, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. That says you're sealed until He calls you out of here, gives you a new body. Praise the Lord. So not only you've been saved from the penalty of sin, you've been saved from the power of sin, and I hope today, but shortly, soon to come, we are going to be saved from the presence of sin. We look around and we look at all the crazy stuff that's going on, and good night, these blue-haired, green-haired, tackle box wearing things that are running around out there with tails and snouts and whatever they got going on. They don't know whether they're, again, a boy or girl or a billy goat, whatever's going on out there. We look it around at that stuff, and we look at the bizarro circus that they have, the rainbow flag wavers and all that good, ungodly, good stuff, that filthy wickedness, and then all the perversion outside of here, not just in the physical appearance and the physical acts, but in the spiritual things that are going on around the world. The whole world seemed like turned on Israel. But you know what? The last few days, they started wiping out all these bad guys that were controlling all the other people that just are trying to live life. And there are a lot of parties going around in Iran and Syria and different places, bragging on Netanyahu and wishing him long life, because you know what he's doing? He's getting rid of the evil that's been oppressing the other evil. You know what might happen? God might. I don't think he's going to. I think he's pretty much done with this country. I really do. But we might see some big revivals in some of these other countries. Too much is given, as much as required. God's given this country a lot, and we threw it away as a nation. I'm not talking about individuals, but as a nation, we threw it away. We run it off the Bible, run off the Lord. We don't want the Holy Spirit around. We don't want any conviction anymore. We want to live like we want to live, and it's all about me, all about me, all about me. There are places in the world where they don't have cars. They don't have bank accounts. They don't have stuff like that. They run around. We talk about Springfield, Ohio, and they're eating the cats and all that weird stuff. And that, I don't doubt that a bit. But you know, some people around there, they run around there, and that's what they've got to eat. And you know why? A lot of that's because a lot of the bad guys are even worse than you can imagine. You know, the people in Lebanon, there are people over there that are born again that just want to live for Christ, and they can't do it because they're stuck over there with those people oppressing them and keeping them under their thumb and at threat of death, you know. And now they're chopping the heads off these snakes running around there, and they're after the head of Iran. There are people dancing in the streets of Iran praising Netanyahu. See, we look at these countries just the way some of those countries look at us. Like they're all just a bunch of no-good heathens, and they should all just burn in hell. And the truth is, there are people over there that love the Lord, that are born again, that want to praise God every day, that want to own a Bible, that can't even own a Bible. And they're over there dancing in the streets. Some of them just because they're heathens and they want to do their heathen thing, but some of them are just want to serve God. And we hear all this stuff, and even the filth and garbage and perversion coming out of our own country, our own universities, our own politicians even, this anti-Israel stuff and pro-Hamas and pro-Hezbollah and pro-Iran and all that. How in the world did we get here? We threw the Bible away. We run Jesus Christ out, and that's where we're at. But boy, I'll tell you that there's a bunch of people out there that they just want to know truth, and they're looking for truth. And I believe God's going to use that war that Israel, he's using Israel as a weapon to defeat a lot of these enemies. I believe he's going to use that to see a lot of people come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I believe that. Now, honestly, I'm not anti-America. I'm anti what's going on in America, and I'm anti throwing the Bible away and the Lord out of everything. But I really believe that God's pretty much through with this place. And I don't think there's any turning around, because I think Christianity, quote-unquote Christianity, in God's eyes in this country is a joke. I do believe that. I'm not talking about true Bible-believing Christianity, people that pray, and people that tell people about Jesus Christ. I'm talking about all the games that are being played, and all these churches, and all these mega churches, and all these internet churches, and all this stuff where they're on there and it's about them. They're Laodicean losers. It's about me, 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 me. And very few people are lifting up Jesus Christ anymore. And because that's not happening in this country, I believe God's through with this country. Could we see a revival? God could do anything God wants to do, but I think he's just about shut the door on this place. I really believe that. I hope I'm wrong. Well, let's put it this way. I hope people endure to the end after we get out of here. I hope we're getting out of here soon. Amen. But the thing is, you've been saved. You've been given a gift that most people don't understand. Most people don't understand what salvation is. We really, with our finite little minds, can't understand God. But I've got some ideas here on salvation according to the Word of God. He has freed us from the penalty of sin. He has freed us from the power of sin. And he is going to free us from the presence of sin. Because when you leave, in a moment, a twinkling of an eye, you get a new body, you get away from you. You get away from the world, the flesh, and the devil like that. So, boy, I'm saved and I'm sure not feeling it today. Well, guess what? There's more to your salvation than your feelings. We've got a book that we can anchor ourselves to. And this book says he's coming to get us out of here, hopefully today. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. We're freed from the penalty of sin. Praise God. We never have to worry about burning in hell. Freed from the power of sin. You can make the right decision on a daily basis to not live like the devil. Amen. And you can make the right decision today and every day to look for the coming of Jesus Christ. We're looking for the blessed hope. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. In the meantime, give me the courage, the strength, the power, the wisdom to be able to tell somebody, hey, Jesus Christ died for you. He rose again, and he'll give you salvation through the blood of Christ. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Guess what would happen? If they trusted Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior, they'd be freed from the penalty of sin, heaven bound. They'd be free from the power of sin. They'd actually have an opportunity to live to please Jesus Christ. And when we leave, hopefully at this Feast of Trumpets time, they'll be free from the presence of sin. I'm telling you, I truly agree wholeheartedly with many of the policies of Donald Trump. Many of them. When it comes to carnal things, me and him are on a lot of the same pages. With a lot of things. But I'm looking for Jesus Christ. If this country got back on its feet, per se, financially, it's still in a mess spiritually. And it's a dangerous thing to have this maybe unintentional, maybe a subliminal underlying thought or thought process of this prosperity thing, this prosperity gospel, where because things are going right financially or looking right financially, you got to be careful about saying things are going right financially even. But if things are looking good financially, that's necessarily God's will. That's not necessarily God's will. God's will, if that was God's will, you explain to me how John the Baptist, there was none greater born of a woman than John the Baptist according to Jesus Christ. You explain to me why he was eating locust and wild honey and had a camel's hair coat and he didn't have a 401k, amen? He didn't have any stock market investments. He didn't have a debit card. As far as we know, he didn't have any worldly stuff. What he did have, they explained. He was running around like a wild man, wearing camel's hair and eating bugs, amen? How come Paul left everything and ditched all that stuff and counted it but dung that he might win Christ? And when Paul went on his ministry, his missionary journey, he wasn't collecting things of this world, he was shucking them. He was getting rid of the things of the world. He said, I counted all but dung. Now, could you say that? I mean, think about it. You go home, you look at your bank statement, say, I got $60,000 in savings. You could say, I count that but dung that I may win Christ. You got a 401k, it's worth $500,000, and you get a dividend off that or whatever. Could you say, I count all that but dung that I may win Christ? I'd be willing to give up all of my future, present and future security, financially speaking, to be in the will of God. Paul did. You know, they got the Osteen crowd and all that other crowd just thinking it's all about money, it's all about comfort, it's all. And Paul says, hey, you're going to suffer, but if you surrender, you'll prevail. We'll prevail whether it's the undertaker or the uppertaker, amen? Because there's salvation. That salvation is Jesus Christ, and that salvation is a three-part salvation. Again, saved from the penalty of sin, saved from the power of sin, and saved from the presence of sin. And that's the part we're looking forward to. We ought to be very careful about looking for that second part every day. We're saved from the power of sin. I don't want to get caught up in sin. I don't want to make a decision. And you know, honestly, just be brutally honest, there's never a time as a saved person where you can say, man, I just accidentally got into sin. There's always a choice. And that wrong choice will take you farther than you want to go. And that's what sin will do. It'll take you farther than you want to go. It'll cost you more than you thought it would cost, and it'll keep you longer than you ever thought it would keep you. But that one wrong decision will not leave you at that one wrong decision. It will lead down a road of disaster. What am I saying? I'm saying when you make a wrong decision, get it right with God. Keep off of that broad path. Keep off of the broad path. You've been saved from the penalty of sin. Can you say, praise the Lord, I'm saved? Amen. You've been saved from the power of sin. The people walking down the street that don't know Jesus Christ, let me reiterate this. Let me say it one more time. They don't have the option to do right and please God. You do. They don't have the power to do right and please God. You do. They don't have the Holy Spirit indwelling them. You do. They don't understand. They don't understand the things of God. The natural man can't understand it. They can't discern this book because they're spiritually discerned. They can't understand the things of God. You can. Now, I understand there's stuff in here we go, what in the world is that? But when it talks about where you're going and who's taking you there and the fact that he's coming to get you, you can understand that. There are a lot of people that claim to be saved can't even understand that. Amen. Oh, I'm building my bunker so I can make it through the tribulation. Why don't you just get saved and forget about the tribulation? Amen. I'm not against having a little bit of backup. Look what just happened in Crete's folks down there. I know they got food and water in there, and they're not chasing mice down to eat now because they knew this was coming. I'm going to tell you something. If the Lord doesn't call us out of here in the next few months, something's coming. Be prepared. Amen. Something's coming. They telegraph it. Something's coming. The world's wicked. something's coming. And I'm not saying dig a hole and hide. I'm saying tell people about Jesus Christ and be prepared quietly to have a few things to keep yourself going for 3 or 4 weeks to survive. Amen. I wouldn't broadcast it. You don't have to be shooting your neighbors. Amen. But I'm just saying, be prepared. But more importantly, be prepared for the presence, leaving the presence of sin. He's coming to get us out of here. I hope and pray. I don't care what all the quote-unquote prophecy preachers say. I believe it'd be just like God to call us out the Feast of Trumpets or the Feast of Passover, either one. I would have a hard time believing it's going to be not be one of those two times. Either way, it could be within the next week, or it could be in the next 6 months or 8 months, 6 months, 7 months. Amen. And I say that because of this. The Feast of Trumpets, we're waiting for the sound. You know, the sound of the last trump, which I don't believe is a trumpet. I believe it's God's voice as a trump. But I believe the Feast of Trumpets would line up well with that. I also believe when he came the first time for the Passover, he left all the saved people and took the sinners out. And I believe he could just come back and take all the saved people and leave the sinners. Amen. Either way, I hope it's Feast of Trumpets. I hope it's this time. But be prepared. Paul says you're going to go through some sufferings, but if you make it, it's going to be because you surrendered. Let's look at that verse one more time. Back over in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse 9. But we had a sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. That surrender. Lord, we're just trusting you. We're just trusting you. If you can say, Lord, I'm trusting you, and you could end up where Job did when he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. You know how many missionaries have left everything in this world, everything in their life, went to another country, lost their entire family. Some of them lost their health, spent time in prison, talked to their spouse through prison bars when they couldn't get out. And the prisoner said, the jailer said, all you have to do is renounce Jesus Christ in that book and we'll let you go. And they would stay in prison. Boy, Joel Osteen's got some problems with explaining that to the missionaries and to the martyrs, his prosperity thought. Amen? You know who God used more than anybody? The martyrs. Other than Jesus Christ and his apostles and disciples, the martyrs. And I don't even want to get into what they went through again. You all know. If you've read Fox's Book of Martyrs, you know. And we've talked about some of it before, and some of it is almost unspeakable. Paul said, if you suffer and you surrender, you'll enjoy that salvation. And I'm not talking about just your salvation for eternity, but being saved from sin, the power of sin. And Paul was looking for it in his day, the presence of sin. He was looking to get out. He was looking to get out. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Father, we love you and thank you for Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you for your word. Thank you for Paul as an example. The chiefest of sinners, yet the most faithful follower. Lord, the examples of men in there like John the Baptist, Job, John the Revelator, even Peter, Lord, as goofed up as he got, he knew how to get right and you used him. He was an imperfect man that you used to preach a perfect message and saw souls saved. Gives us hope. Thank you for that hope. But most importantly, the blessed hope of us getting out of here being saved from the presence of sin. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. We thank you and praise you for everything you do. Help us to get right, be right, and right. And continue to bless those folks we're praying about for safety, for salvation, for health issues, financial struggles, whatever it may be, Lord. We'll lift them up to you. Bless the nursing home service coming up in a little while. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, there'll be food downstairs in just a little bit. We're going to have to air fry some of it, so it'll be just a little bit. But you guys can arm wrestle or fist fight or whatever you want, but about 10 minutes we'll have some food. Matter of fact, let's go ahead and ask the Lord to bless the food. That way we get out there, come down there in different times, you won't have to wonder, anybody pray over it? Father, we love you and thank you again for allowing us to eat together and fellowship together, and ask your blessing again on the nursing home service. Bless the food. and help us, Lord, glorify you. Bless the meal together today. In Jesus' name, amen.